you'll take your Bibles and turn to John chapter 14. John 14. John chapter 14, verses 16 and 17. Starting in verse 16, it says, "And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you." Let's pray. Father in heaven, it's a blessing to be in your house, and a blessing to be amongst these dear folks tonight, Father, and I pray that you would just guide us and direct us through this as we look into continuing our study on the doctrines of the Holy Spirit. And Father, I pray that we would learn some things that maybe we don't know, maybe have refreshed some things we did know but haven't thought about for a while. I pray, Father, that you would be lifted up and glorified. And Father, for those who aren't here tonight, for whatever reason, I just pray you'd restore them, bring them back to us. And we thank you for this opportunity now tonight. And will not fail to give you all the praise, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This great promise of Christ would be meaningless if all believers were already given the permanent indwelling of the Holy Spirit before this promise. God gives us this promise. Jesus gave this promise to them so that they would know that they would have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit if he went away. God the Father would send the Holy Spirit, a comforter, the comforter. And so, thank God for the comforter, as I've said many times. I don't know how I would make it without the comforter in my life. He's just always been there, taking care of us and providing and guiding and directing and revealing the truths of God's Word. And it's just great to have a comforter that we can rely on. And then all references to the Spirit departing from individuals are in the Old Testament. First we see Samson. For sake of time, I'm not going to turn to all these. I'll just read them. But Judges 16:20. "And she said, The Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And he woke out of his sleep and said, I will go out as at other times before and shake myself. And he wist not that the Lord was departed from him." He had no idea. We all know that story of Samson and how Samson, supposed to, I tell you, the boy, somebody should have just slapped him around, right? He needed to get a clue is what he needed, and he didn't even know that the Lord had departed from him. And I wonder how many people are walking around today that don't understand that their relationship with God has been hindered because of what they're doing. And they don't even know it. They're thinking everything's wonderful. And yet that relationship's been hindered. And I guess it's okay to not know what's going on if you don't care what's going on, right? But that's not the way God wants it set up. We need to understand that the Holy Spirit will not depart from us, but our relationship with God can be hindered. And then Saul, in 1 Samuel 16:14, says, "But the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, and an evil spirit from the Lord troubled him." So again, we see where the Spirit of the Lord departed. And David in Psalm 51:11 says, "Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me." David understood that God could do that. David sinned, right? Aren't you glad that when we sin, we don't lose the Holy Spirit? I mean, let's face it, folks, we're still sinners, saved by grace. We're not, just like Brother Ray Martinez said, we're not perfect, but we love the Lord, and we want to serve Him. You know, unfortunately, the world thinks that because we're Christians, we're supposed to be perfect. The Bible never said we're supposed to be perfect. In fact, it says we can't be. We're imperfect beings. And so David saw that God could take the Holy Spirit from him, and he He pled with him not to. The fact that the Spirit is said to have come at Pentecost indicating a new and greater phase of his ministry in Acts 1:8. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. That's what God has given to us too, right? So that we can go out. We have the power to go out and to witness to people. Many times I think people are thinking it's in their own power and they can't do it. If we're relying on our own power, we can't do it. But if we rely on His power, then we can. The statement of Peter at Pentecost that all who repent and receive the remission of their sins will receive the gift of the Holy Ghost seems to indicate that His is something new. In Acts 2:38, then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And we know that that happens at the moment we get saved. We receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. He comes in and He indwells in us. Thank God. Thank God for that. And I think sometimes we take that for granted. But we should be thanking God for that. Without God giving that to us, we wouldn't have it. In fact, everything we have comes from God. There's too many people out there, I'm talking people professing to be Christians, that think that they have what they have because of what they've done. You know, I was talking to Nathan today. I thank God for bringing Nathan into my life. He's done work on my lawnmower, and today he got my snowblower ready for winter, and he's amazing. But he's a Christian, and he knows the Lord, and he loves the Lord. And it's amazing talking to him, and I just enjoy talking about the things of God. So it was a blessing to talk to him. But he said, you know, too many people are living in this world, and he knows a guy who used to be a pastor, and he's no longer a pastor, and he asked him why, and he said, because I just got burned out. Just got burned out. And he said, and Nathan has people in his life that are pastors. So he knows firsthand, being related to these people, what pastors go through. One of them is his dad. And so he knows what pastors go through. And most people think the pastor, it's easy street. They think that there's, you know, no stress, no... They obviously have never done it, right? But he said, I get it. There's a lot of stress being a pastor of a church. But how do you get burned out on God? Well, it's because people aren't relying on the Holy Spirit. They're trying to do it in their own strength. Instead of being filled with the Holy Spirit, letting the Holy Spirit guide and direct. And so once we get the gift of the Holy Spirit, we need to rely on Him. But the fact that some believers in Acts received the Holy Spirit after their salvation as part of an apparent transitional period between the Old and New Testament ministries of the Spirit, indicating that not every believer under the Old Testament automatically received the Spirit. And they didn't in the Old Testament. New Testament, it's different. Conclusions. My view is that the Holy Spirit's ministry in the Old Testament was comprised primarily of special empowerment upon special individuals for special tasks, for special times, such as special empowerment for Israel's leaders. The Holy Spirit played a role in salvation and drawing men to faith, but apparently did not permanently indwell all believers as He does today. And the Holy Spirit, I will say, has always, always, always played a part in salvation. How are we going to know Christ unless the Holy Spirit draws us? That's why I tell people, you can stand in front of people and you can talk to them till you're blue in the face. You can do everything you can. You can yell, scream, jump up and down, throw a fit. You're not going to get them where they need to be if the Holy Spirit is not working in their lives. We share the gospel. The Holy Spirit does His part. God does the saving, not us. And so we need to understand that it's not about us. So summary, the new ministry of the Spirit under the new covenant was to be, first of all, universal for all believers of all nations from the moment of salvation. In 1 Corinthians 2:12 it says, "Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God." Before Pentecost, there is no record of the Spirit falling on any nation other than Israel. Then we're to be permanently secure for all the saved. You can't lose your salvation even if you wanted to, and I don't know why you would. I get that question from people every once in a while. Well, what happens if you get saved and then you decide you don't want to be saved? Can you give back your salvation? Why would you want to? I would say, if you come to a point in your life when you think you want to give your salvation back, then you should probably check to see if you ever got saved in the first place. Because why would you want to give up the best gift you could ever have? It doesn't make any sense to me. So I think it's unsaved people still trying to figure out how they can discredit the whole thing. But permanently secure for all saved. We have seen that the Old Testament ministry was often temporary, illustrated by Samson in Judges 16:20, and as I read before, that he didn't realize that the Lord was departed from him. And then in Judges 14:6 and 19, "And the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him, and he rent him as he would have rent a kid, and had nothing in his hand, but he told not his father or his mother what he had done. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon him, and he went down to Ashkelon and slew 30 men of them, and took their spoil, and gave change of garments unto them which expounded the riddle. And his anger was kindled, and he went up to his father's house." So here we saw where the Holy Spirit departed from him. We see where the Holy Spirit came upon him. And Judges 15:14, "And when he came to Lehi, the Philistines shouted against him, and the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him, and the cords that were upon his arms became as flax that was burnt with fire, and his bands loosed from off his hands." So we see, came upon, left, came upon. So the Holy Spirit wasn't always there indwelling in them in the Old Testament. Illustrated by Saul in 1 Samuel 16:14, "But the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, and the evil spirit from the Lord troubled him." And 1 Samuel 10:10, "And when they came together to the hill, behold, a company of prophets met him, and the Spirit of God came upon him, and he prophesied among them." Then we also see it illustrated by David in Psalm 51:11, which I said, "Cast not me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me." And 1 Samuel 16:13, "Then Saul took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brethren, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. So Samuel rose up and went to Ramah." So again, we can see where the Holy Spirit can go away, it can come upon, always in the Old Testament. Now, some Bible students hold the view that believers were permanently indwelled by the Spirit in the Old Testament, that only special anointing was removed in the Old Testament. There is no clear statement concerning this in any of the aforementioned texts. It's my view that this theory does not fit with the scriptural facts. Always have to go back to Scripture, no matter what people say. And as I've said many times, there's people out there trying to discredit the Word of God. We have to know what it says, so we know when they're wrong. Does it do any good to argue with them? No. I don't argue with them. I just say, this is what the Bible says. It's not my argument. It's the Word of God. If they don't like it, they don't have a problem with me. They have a problem with the Word of God. They're either going to get right with the Word of God, or they're not. That's their choice. But it doesn't do any good to stand there yelling and screaming and throwing a fit with them. Just tell them what the Word of God says. Eventually, they'll either believe the Word of God, or you'll find that they no longer want to talk to you because they don't like being given the Word of God that they don't believe. Then the New Testament indwelling of the Spirit is always secure because of the sealing work of the Spirit. In Ephesians 4:30, "And grieve not the Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption." And Ephesians 1:13, in whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. We've been sealed. So, eternally secure because of the sealing work of the Holy Spirit. It's not because of anything we do. We can't get ourselves saved. We couldn't keep ourselves saved. It's the work of the Holy Spirit. And then because the promise of Christ that the Spirit will abide with believers forever. In John 14:16-17, as I read as our text when we started, and because even vile sin does not change our nature as the temple of the Spirit. It doesn't matter what we do after we get saved, it doesn't change the fact that we are a child of God. It can hinder our relationship. I was talking to a guy today, and his daughter, who was raised in a Christian home and all, has gone out. She's living on her own. She has gotten 3 tattoos. She came over to the parents' house and showed them to them, knowing that the parents are totally against tattoos. But because she got tattoos that say, "I love Jesus," and another one is a scripture reference, he said she thought that that would make us happy. It didn't work. It didn't matter. She didn't understand. But he said, she's still our daughter, but she hasn't been back since she didn't like our response to what she thought we were going to be accepting of because she tried to put a Christian spin on it. And he said, he's a sound guy. He does a lot of sound stuff with churches and stuff, and so he said, I love music. But he said, there's a lot of stuff out there that they call Christian music that they put a Christian spin on, but it has nothing to do with Christianity. And he says, and yet they call it Christian because they might use some lingo that you would find in the Bible. And he said, it's no different. These tattoos, they don't become okay just because you put the name of Jesus or the name of God in there or put a scripture reference with it. It still is not okay. And yet, people will come up with all kinds of ideas. Satan is a master counterfeiter. Satan is a musician. He uses music to entice people away from the Word of God, the truths of the Word of God. And he does it subtly. He doesn't just come in and make it blatant. Just a little at a time. So we have to be careful. We have to be careful what we listen to, careful what we are around. And so it's just one of those things. People don't understand. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit. What are we doing with our temple? How are we using it? What are we listening to? What are we watching? All those things. But it doesn't matter what evil, vile sin we might commit. Once we're saved, we're always saved. Again, it will hinder our relationship. Just like he found, what his daughter did has hindered their relationship. She now won't come over there because she doesn't want to be around her parents because they weren't accepting of what she did. Well, you know, I've had people in my life that I'm not thrilled with what they've done, and I've told them, I love you, your family. Doesn't matter what you do, I'm still going to love you. Doesn't mean I condone what you're doing, but I still love you. So we have to understand those things. And then I'm going to try and get through this section. 1 Corinthians 6:15-20. Know ye not that your bodies are the members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them the members of a harlot? God forbid. What? Know ye not that he which is joined to an harlot is one body? For two, saith he, shall be one flesh. But he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. Flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body, but he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. 2 Corinthians 6:16. What agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God, as God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people.